بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا عبد القاسم المصطفى محمد
اللهم صل على
وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين أجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف وجعلنا من أعوانه وأنصاره السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين ورحمة الله وبركاته. We've been reflecting on some of the sayings of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. In which he addresses Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and expresses his complete need for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The last sentence was ha ana atawassalu ilayka bi faqri ilayk wa kayfa atawassalu ilayka bima huwa muhalun an yasla ilayk. I call upon you, I appeal to you by making my poverty as my wasila. But how can I appeal to you through my poverty when I know that poverty would not reach you? You have to take a wasila which can reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But poverty has no way to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we gave two interpretations for this. One is that because Allah is free from need, so there is no way to take poverty to Him. And the second was that when you go towards Allah, you move the journey with poverty. But by the time you reach Allah, you are no longer poor.
Yeah.
Allah makes you the richest of the people. So tonight we start from the next sentence. أَمْ كَيْفَ أَشْكُوا إِلَيْكَ حَالِي وَهُوَ لَا يَخْفَى عَلَيْكَ. Oh Allah, how can I bring my complaint about my condition to you while it's not hidden from you? Why should I mention the problems that I have while I know that you know everything? So on the one hand, you want to mention your needs, your problem, your requests. And indeed, we should mention these to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But on the other hand, we know that He knows our problem better than we ourselves know. He knows everything. Nothing is hidden from Him. Even before I come to know, He knows. Maybe sometimes I have an illness, I don't know myself. Or my children have some problem, I don't know myself. But Allah knows about it. So it's important to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help. But always you should remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, without you telling Him, He knows what are your needs and what are the best means to meet your need. So Imam says, أَمْ كَيْفَ أَشْكُوا إِلَيْكَ حَالِي وَهُوَ لَا يَخْفَى عَلَيْكَ. أَمْ كَيْفَ أُتَرْجِمُ بِمَقَالِي وَهُوَ مِنْكَ بَرَزٌ إِلَيْكَ. How should I translate with my words what I want to say while I know that my needs and my words and my meaning, everything is present before you. Everything is known to you. Even when I want to think about what words to use, you know this. You know how I struggle to find the words. You know everything. أَمْ كَيْفَ أُتَرْجِمُ بِمَقَالِي وَهُوَ مِنْكَ بَرَزٌ إِلَيْكَ. Whatever I'm going to say comes from you and it's clear for you. There is nothing hidden from you. Sometimes we think that no one knows about me, no one knows about my problem. So you feel lonely. You feel that as if you are forgotten. But this is not the case. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala definitely is seeing. He's aware of everything. Alam ya'lam bi'anna Allah yara. Man must know that God is seeing him. All the time he is looking at us. Not with the physical eyes, but with a type of knowledge which is much more than seeing something by physical eyes. He knows everything. And according to many hadiths, even the imam of the time knows everything about us. No, Allah says in the Quran, قُلْ اعْمَلُوا فَسَيَرَ اللَّهُ عَمَلَكُمْ وَرَسُولُهُ وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Tell them, act. Allah is going to see it. And the Rasul, the messenger, is going to see it. وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ, and the believers. Who are those believers who see your action? These are the imams. They see our actions. They are aware of what we do, of what we think. If I make a good action or even intention of doing good thing, my Imam Zaman is aware of that. If, na'uzu billah, we do something wrong, even if no one is watching, he knows about this. There is a beautiful story in the book Kamaluddin wa Tamamun Ni'mah by Shaykh al-Saduq, rahmatullah alayhi. You know, Shaykh al-Saduq is a very great scholar who lived in the beginning of Ghaybah. Very important personality. In his book, he mentions a beautiful story. And I thought I should share this with you so that you know that how not only Allah, but also his Hujjah, his vicegerent, is aware of what we do. Therefore, inshallah, we try to be more careful. And at the same time, you should be very hopeful that they don't leave you alone. Muhammad ibn al-Hasan al-Sayrafi al-Dawraqi al-Muqim bi-Ard Balkh. There was a person called Muhammad ibn Hasan, and he was living in the city of Balkh in Afghanistan. At that time was part of Iran. So he was living that part, eastern part of Iran. يقول أردت الخروج إلى الحج وكان معي مال بعضه ذهب وبعضه فضة. Said, I wanted to go to Hajj, and there were some money and huquq, some money belonging to the Imam al-Hujjah. Some of it was in gold, some in silver. So it was my responsibility to take this money to give it to the deputy of Imam. فَجَعَلْتُ مَا كَانَ مَعِي مِنَ الذَّهَبِ سَبَائِكَ وَمَا كَانَ مَعِي مِنَ الْفِضَّةِ نَقْرًا. He said, I made them into bricks so that it's easy to carry. So I melt it and made it into like bricks. وَكَانَ قَدْ دُفِعَ ذَلِكَ الْمَالِ إِلَيَّ لِأُسَلِّمَهُ مِنَ الشَّيْخِ أَبِ الْقَاسِمِ الْحُسَيْنِ بْنِ الرُّوحِ. This was given to me so that when I go to Hajj, on my way, I meet the Naib of Imam in Baghdad, Husayn ibn al-Ruh, Nobakhti, and give him this money. You know, in the time of minor occultation, there were four people, each after the other, who were acting as deputy of Imam. They were called Naibul Imam. He says, فَلَمَّا نَزَلْتُ سَرَخْس. When I reached the area of Sarakhs, which is now in the border of Iran, زَرَبْتُ خَيْمَتِي عَلَى مَوْذِعٍ فِيهِ رَمْلٌ. I set up my tent. I wanted to have some rest. And I put everything inside the tent. فَجَعَلْتُ عَمِيزُ تِلْكَ السَّبَائِكَ وَالنُّقَرْ. Then I started bringing out those silver and gold and put them separate, and I started counting them to make sure that nothing went missing. He was very careful because this is amana. It is amana of Imam al-Zaman. You know, even if an enemy gives you an amana, you have to keep it. Yeah. Let alone, this is amana of Imam al-Zaman. You cannot, you know, be careless about it. فَسَّقَتَتْ سَبِيكَةٌ مِنْ تِلْكَ السَّبَائِكِ مِنِّي وَخَاضَتْ فِي الرَّامْلِ. Unfortunately, one of those pieces of gold dropped and went hidden under some sands, because it was not carpeted or, you know, like concrete. It was some sand. So went inside. وَأَنَا لَا أَعْلَمُ. And I didn't know. فَلَمَّا دَخَلْتُ حَمِدَانْ مَيَّزْتُ تِلْكَ السَّبَائِكَ وَالنُّقَرْ مَرَّةً أُخْرَى اِحْتِمَامًا مِنِّي بِحِفْزَهَا. When I reached Hamadan, again I brought them all out. I wanted to count them again to check everything is okay. اِحْتِمَامًا مِنِّي means because I was very concerned. I wanted to be sure that nothing goes missing. So, فَقَدَتْ مِنِّي سَبِيكَةٌ. I realized that one piece is missing. وَزْنُهَا مِئَةُ مِثْقَالٍ وَثَلَاثَةُ مَثَاقِيلَ أَوْ قَالَ ثَلَاثَةٌ وَتِسْعُونَ مِثْقَالًا. The weight was 103 مِثْقَال. Each مِثْقَال is a little more than 4 grams. Or 93 مِثْقَال. The narrator is in doubt whether he said 103 or 93. So this man, who was very careful, still when he found that one piece is missing, what did he do? He purchased gold from Hamadan with his own money and put it back in its place, so that nothing is missing. He didn't say, okay, it was not my fault, or, you know, I was wakil, so if it's missing, no problem. No, from his own pocket money, he purchased. So he said, فَسَبَكْتُ مَكَانَهَا مِنْ مَالِي بِوَزْنَهَا. I made exactly the same weight from my own money so that nothing is missing. وَجَعَلْتُهَا بَيْنَ السَّبَعِ. Put it inside the other pieces. فَلَمَّا وَرَدْتُ مَدِينَةَ السَّلَامِ قَصَدْتُ الشَّيْخَ أَبَا الْقَاسِمِ الْحُسَيْنِ بْنَ رُوحِ قَدَّسَ اللَّهُ رُوحَهُ. When I reached Baghdad, I asked for him, and I went to see him and give him amana so that I have peace of mind. Alhamdulillah, amana is delivered. Then he says, سَلَّمْتُ إِلَيْهِ مَا كَانَ مَعِي مِنَ السَّبَائِكَ وَنَقَرْ فَمَدَّ يَدَهُ. Something strange happened. When I met him and gave him all these pieces of silver and gold, مَدَّ يَدَهُ مِنْ بَيْنِ تَلْكَ السَّبَائِكَ إِلَى السَّبِيكَةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُ سَبَكْتُهَا مِنْ مَالِي. He stretched his hand and took that piece that I had made from my own money. فَرَّمَا بِهَا إِلَيَّ. He threw it. وَقَالَ لِي لَيْسَتْ هَذِهِ السَّبِيكَ لَنَا. He said, this is not ours. سَبِيكَتُنَا زَيَّعْتَهَا بِالسَّرَخْسِ. What is ours, you lost it in Sarakhs. حَيْثُ ذَرَبْتَ خَيْمَتَكَ. When you set up your tent, you missed it there. فَرْجِعْ إِلَى مَكَانِكَ وَانْزِلْ حَيْثُ نَزَلْتَ. When you go back, go to the same place and look for it under sand. You will find our sabika. Our gold is there. وَتْلُبِ السَّبِيكَةَ هُنَاكَ تَحْتَ الرَّمْلِ. Look for it under the sand. فَإِنَّكَ سَتَجِدُهَا. You will find it. وَسَتَعُودُ إِلَى هَا هُنَا. Then the next year, the next time you come, bring that for me. But he didn't say bring that for me. He said bring it here, but fala tarani. You will not see me. The next time you come, bring it, but fala tarani. You don't see me. So he said, I went back home, and then on my way I went to Sarax, to the same place, and found the sabika under the sand. وَقَدْ نَبَتَ عَلَيْهَا الْحَشِيشِ. There were some also grasses, some, you know, something grown on it. فَأَخَذْتُ السَّبِيكَ. I took it. وَانْصَرَفْتُ إِلَى بَلَدِي. Reached home after some time. I decided again to go to visit. Then he says, فَدَخَلْتُ مَدِينَةَ السَّلَامِ. When I reached Baghdad, قَدْ كَانَ الشَّيْخ أَبُو الْقَاسِمِ الْحُسَيْنِ بْنِ رُوحِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ Mava. Then they said he has passed away. Because he had told him, bring it, but you will not see me. وَلَقِيْتُ أَبَا الْحَسَنِ عَلِيَّ بْنِ مُحَمَّدِ السَّيْمُرِي.
Allah صَلِّ عَلَىٰ مُحَمَّدْ وَعَالِ.
فَسَلَّمْتُ السَّبِيكَةَ إِلَيْهِ. Then I gave him the gold. So you see, even an agent of Imam Zaman knows everything about this person. He knows this sabika is not the original one. Where he lost it. And he says, you go and you will find it. And next time bring it, but you will not see me. So he knows everything about this story. So now imagine what would be the condition of Imam Zaman. He knows everything. If I decide to do something good, right away he knows about it. If, na'uzu billah, I decide to do something bad, he knows. If I give Imam Zaman the money that belongs to Imam Zaman, he knows. If I don't give, he knows. Everything he knows. This should make us very careful. And at the same time, if you are a good person, it makes you very hopeful. If you are a bad person, it makes you very fearful. Because good people, they know to be, they love to be known. Yeah? A person who is always doing things properly, he loves other people to know about it. Those who want to remain secret and hidden, these are the people who have problem. A criminal doesn't want anyone to look at him. But a nice person loves everyone to know about him. Once in one country, there was a discussion. Some brothers said, nowadays, everything we do, everything we say is watched. And they have record of everything. I said, I am very happy. I wish they know everything that I do and everything I know. Because if they know what I am doing, they will all praise what I am doing. We don't have anything hidden so that we are afraid of. When you are doing things properly, you love to be watched. I don't have any problem if people watch me. A mu'min is happy that Allah is watching him. Imam Zaman is watching him. Angels are watching him. This gives him more motivation. A sinful person is very worried. When they are watching me, then I will be accountable. I have to be very worried. So, Imam Hussein alayhi salam says, O Allah, how can I use words, expressions to tell you about my need while even my words come from you and are known to you? أَمْ كَيْفَ تُخَيِّبُ آمَالِي وَهِيَدْ قَدْ وَفَدَتْ إِلَيْكَ. How is it possible that you disappoint me while my desires, my requests have reached you? You know, sometimes people who don't want to help, they say, please don't mention anything to me. When you want to, for example, say there is a need, there is a problem, they say, don't mention to me. Because they know that if they listen, then they will feel, you know, concerned and they have to do something. So they think by not listening, they don't have responsibility. Of course, this is a wrong and false assumption. If you don't let me to explain my need, doesn't mean that you don't have responsibility. But still, people feel comfortable if they don't know. They say, I didn't know. But the same person, if he knows about the problem, then says, I must do something. Now I know, I cannot remain indifferent. We say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how is it possible that you would disregard my request while they have already reached you, they have already been known to you? It's impossible. There is no chance that Allah says, I didn't know. You know, a generous person is the one who cannot accept someone in need. If you tell a generous person that there is someone who doesn't have food, what would he say? He said, please take this food to him, or I myself go and give food to him. No matter whether he has come to me or not, whether he knows me or not, I don't accept a person to be suffering. Now imagine if a generous person, someone comes and knocks at his door. This is totally different. Even if someone outside in another part of the town is in trouble, he is concerned. What about a person who knocks at his door and says, you know, I don't have anything to feed my children. Would you please help me? Would this person disappoint? No. He says, impossible. How can I be generous and then don't give you what I have? So we say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are you going to disappoint me and reject me while my request have come to you? You have received my request. It's impossible. أَمْ كَيْفَ لَا تُحْسِنُ أَحْوَالِي وَبِكَ قَامَتْ. How is it possible to think that you are not going to improve my conditions, reform my conditions, while my conditions all are dependent on your decision? I cannot imagine that Allah says, it's your problem. You know, sometimes people, when you tell them something, it says, this is your problem, not my problem. But can we imagine Allah says to us, this is your problem? Okay, if this is my problem, but I am Allah's problem. I am His servant. He cannot say, this is your problem. I am His servant. Where can I go? Who other than Allah I have? As we have in Munajat Amirul Mu'mini alayhi salam in the months of Ramadan. Hal yarhamul mamluk illa al malik? Is there anyone other than the owner that would have mercy on the owned? So this is one reality that no one can change. This is that we are Allah's servants. We are Allah's creation. So whatever problems we have, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would look into it. Would not say, it has nothing to do with me. Ilahi, ma altafaka bi ma'azim jahli. O Allah, how kind you are with me, despite my great ignorance, my great unwise behavior. I cannot understand why you are still so kind with me. You know everything about me. If people know even 10% of what you know about me, they would reject me. The majority of people are like this. There are only few people that even their inside, everything is better than they look. There is a hadith which says that the one whose appearance is better than his reality is munafiq. Munafiq, zahiruhu, his appearance is better than his batin, from his inner self. It's munafiq. The one whose appearance and whose reality are the same, he is mu'min. A mu'min is honest. It's not that with you is somehow very good, but when he is, you know, alone, he does mischief. When he's with you, he praises you. When he's somewhere else, he talks against you. This is not mu'min. So munafiq, when he appears better than what he is. But mu'min, his appearance and inner self are the same. But then the hadith says there is a third group of people whose batin, whose inner reality is better than their zahir. And then the hadith says, فَهُوَ وَلِيِّ حَقَّ. This is my wali. This is my friend. This is my chosen servant.
Naray takbir.
Allahu Akbar.
Naray risala.
Ya Rasulullah.
Naray hadari.
Ya Ali.
Those who are close to Allah, whatever good you see from them, it's reality, but there are many good things that only Allah knows. He doesn't tell you. And it's always good to keep something only between you and Allah. Don't let everyone knows about you. Even some of the things your children must not know. Your wife or husband must not know. Keep something only between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that inshallah there is a chance that you would be an instance for this hadith. So, most of people, even most of the believers, they are not as good as they appear. Most of the people. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't let us to damage their reputation. If you know something bad about someone, you shouldn't tell others. Allah wants this cover, this protection to be there. He is Sattarul Uyub. And He doesn't want His servants to be known as bad people, as sinful people. This is bad for them, this is bad for the community, for the society. There is such a protection, there is such a cover. But when it comes to He Himself, He knows everything. Between me and Allah, there is no secret. He knows everything. But at the same time, I wonder why still He is so kind. With all the bad things that I have done, if even for a few days I try to be a good person, I see He is showing love to me. He's showing support to me. He forgets all the bad things. And now that you want to change, I accept. قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَتُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. If you have done all the bad things, still don't feel despaired. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَقْفِرُ الدُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. He forgives all your sins. He doesn't ask how many, when, where. No, if you really, sincerely repent, you want to restore the damage, He says, okay, I have forgiven you. Go and sort out the problem with people. Make them also happy. I am happy. Even there is a hadith which is very special. It says, when a person regrets because of the sins that he has committed, Allah forgives him before he says, Astaghfirullah Rabbi wa Atubu. Just when he sees this sincerity in your heart, that you really are sorry, so you are forgiven. Then there are some formalities that you have to go through. You say, Astaghfirullah Rabbi wa Atubu ilay. Then you try to please people that you have wronged. But as far as Allah is concerned, He says you are forgiven. So, why He is so kind with us? Why He treats us in the way that it appears as if He has no one else? There is a hadith Qudsi which says, I treat you as if I have only you. I have so much love for you that if I had only one servant and it was you, would not be more than that I have now. You may think this is not possible, but it's possible. Look at parents. If you have one child, then you love your child. If you have two child, it's not that your love is divided. Now it becomes 50%. Maybe some parents are like this, but not all the parents. All the parents, if they have one child or two children or five children, the love that they have for each children is independent. Allah grows my heart. I don't need to reduce my love for first child so that I can love a second child. My heart grows. So I love my first child, and without reduction, I love my second child. Or when we love, for example, Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, it's not that our love has to be divided. So if we had one imam, we had capacity to love him more than now that we have 12 imams. No, it's not like this. Allah grows your heart. Now imagine about Allah himself. Whether he has one servant or 6 billion or 60 billions, he loves them as he has only one servant. So he says, this is the way I treat you. You never find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, I am now busy with other people. Call me later. No. Anytime, day or night, you can call him. He's always there. But the sad point is that Allah says, you treat me as if you have many, many other gods than me. This is shame. He has billions of people, but any moment he is there for us. We have only one God, then we are not available to him. He says, I don't ask you to be 24 hours with me, but when there is call for prayer, come quickly to me. I said, let me see, you know, how the things go. I have other things to sort out. When I have nothing else to do, I say my salat. This is shame. We have to rush into salat. Hayya ala khayr al-amal. This is the time that my Lord has asked me to go and meet him and speak to him. How can I be lazy? How can I be, you know, slow? So, it's really from one side, full of love and kindness, and from another side, which is our side, full of laziness and carelessness. So Imam Hussein says to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ilahi ma altafaka bi ma'a azim jahli. I cannot understand why you are so kind with me with all the problems that you see in me. Why you still want me? وَمَا أَرْحَمَكَ بِمَا غَبِيهِ فِعْلِ. Why you are so merciful despite my ugly actions? Inshallah, later we will explain. Even our good actions are not good. What is your best action? Your salat? Look at your salat. What type of salat we perform? If we really understand the way salat has to be performed and compare it to our salat, we don't give even, you know, 10% to your salat. If you look at the salat of good servants of Allah, you feel embarrassed to say, I have said salat. We are just pretending. This is not salat. إِنَّ السَّلَاةِ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. If you do one proper salat, you cannot do anything bad in your life. One accepted salat stops you from doing anything bad in your life. There was a person who used to say salat and then change his place. Two rak'ah here, then moves to another part of the room, another two rak'ah. They ask him, why you keep changing? He said, because my salat goes to the sky, but then is sent back. So I am changing my place so it doesn't hit me. So unfortunately, our salat is sent back. It doesn't go to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you know, salat is such an important thing that the hadith says, in qubilat, qubila ma siwaha. Wa in ruddat, rudda ma siwaha. If your salat is accepted, every other thing can be accepted. If salat is rejected, nothing is accepted. Your fasting is rejected. Your hajj is rejected. Your charity rejected. If you cannot pass the exam of salat, other things are rejected. This is the major subject for our examination. If you manage to pass this, other things will be okay. A person who does his salat properly, for sure he does other things properly. But if na'uzu billah, salat is rejected, everything is rejected. Allah says, فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ أَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. The people who are not careful about their salat, the people who have no presence of heart when they say salat, the people who don't observe all the etiquettes of salat, Allah warns them. But what about the people who don't say salat?
Allah.
We cannot even talk about it. We cannot even think of it. That there is a person who doesn't say salat. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, "Man taraka salata muta'ammidan faqad kafara." If someone deliberately doesn't say salat, this is kufr. When Imam was going to pass away, he asked all the members of family to come. These are children and relatives of Imam. These are all Bani Hashim, all Sayyid, all Imamzadeh. Imam asked them to come. Before his departure, he said, "La tanalu shafa'atuna mustakhiffan bisalat." The one who underestimates the significance of his or her salat would not benefit from our shafa'ah. So salat is such an important thing. But now look at our salat. Our salat is something which is not really presentable. You cannot say, "This is my salat, alhamdulillah." When we say our salat, we don't have presence of heart. We think about everything other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are quick, we rush in any place. Can you meet your beloved in any place? Or you try to meet your beloved in the best place, in the best condition? We should meet our beloved in his house, where there is Salatul Jama'ah, in the mosque. At least if there is no mosque, in a prayer room, with preparation, with alertness, with beautiful dress, while you smell nice, while you have no reason to rush. Few minutes, it doesn't take that much time. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that now that you have only one Lord and everything you want is in my hand, even if you want rizq, it's not in the hand of clients, customers, it's in my hand. So spend few minutes with me so that I solve your problem. Like a person who has illness and he doesn't spend time with the doctor, so his illness would remain. But what is nice is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't say, "Because so far you have been bad, I don't want to see you. Don't come to me." No, he says, "Okay, whenever you come, it's not too late. We can start from now on. We start the treatment from now on. But if you don't go to him, it means that you yourself have deprived yourself. So Imam says, O Allah, مَا أَرْحَمَكَ بِي مَا غَبِيهَ فِعْلٍ. How merciful you are with me despite my bad actions, which I said even our good actions are not good. إِلَهِ مَا أَقْرَبَكَ مِنِّي وَأَبْعَدَنِي عَنْكَ. This is very beautiful, very philosophical. How close you are to me and how far I am from you. Closeness in physical subjects is mutual. If my right hand and left hand are put next to each other, if one of them is close to other, the other is also close to this. If two people are sitting next to each other, one of them is close to the other, therefore the other is also close to him. But when it comes to abstract things, to immaterial things, to spiritual things, there is possibility of one side being close to the other and the other being far from him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is close to all of us. نَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ. We are closer to man than his jugular vein. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala يَحُولُ بَيْنَ الْمَرْءِ وَقَلْبِهِ. Even he stands between you and your heart. It means that he is closer to you than your heart. So before your message reaches your heart, or message comes from your heart to you, it reaches Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's so close to us. هُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ. He is with you wherever you are. But what about us? Are we close to him? No. We are very far. There's a big distance. We have to try to get close to him. This is taqarrub, seeking closeness to Allah. Unfortunately, most of people are very far from Allah. Imagine a teacher who is very qualified, very experienced. He knows everything about his students. Even if they have family issues, if they have, I don't know, psychological problems, he knows everything. He understands them. He knows how to help them. But students are not necessarily close to the teacher. Some of them even want to run away from the teacher, want to escape from the class. So the teacher is close, but they are not necessarily close. Sometimes if you have a teenager, you have this experience. Inshallah, you don't have this experience. But sometimes you have this experience. You see, you are trying your best to be always available, very close. But the other side feel that as if there are thousands of kilometers distance between you and him. He thinks that you don't understand him. You belong to another world. Which is not the case. But there is this distance. You understand him, but he doesn't understand you. You are close to him, but he's far from you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is close to everyone, even to the bad people. He's close to them, but they are not close to him. We should try to achieve this closeness to Allah, because this is the way that we can progress. And if you are not close to Allah, then you are close to shaitan. There is no other way. You cannot say, I am not close to Allah, but I am far from shaitan. There is no other way. If you don't go towards this pole, you are going towards the other pole. Either you are with an'amta alayhim or you are with maghluba alayhim and zallin. There is no other way. We have one road and two points of reference. Either you are moving this way or that way. This is why I say those who are going to even shaitan, they are on the same road. The problem is that they have taken Sirat al-Mustaqim from that direction. So instead of going towards the destination, they go farther and farther. Because they are doing opposite things. So we have to try to become closer and closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Imam Hussein alayhi salam says, Ilahi ma aqrabaka minni wa ab'adani ank. How close you are to me and how far I am from you. But you never reject me. You never say, okay, I am now leaving you. You remain for me so that I may come back. There is a beautiful hadith Qudsi which says, لو علم المدبرون كيف اشتياقي بهم. If the people who have turned their back to me, they have gone to the wrong direction, if they knew how much I yearn for them, how much I am eager for them, lamatu shawqan, they would have died out of joy. If a sinful person knows how much Allah is eager to have him back, he would die. We don't know how kind is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how lovely, how merciful he is. So my advice is, let us try. You can always try other ways, but first try to be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for some time and see what happens. Let us for a few months be good and obedient and follow the path of Allah. If after a few months you feel that you have lost, okay, go to the other direction. But at least first try this. And I am sure it's impossible that if someone for a few months honestly obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he would be pleased with any other thing. He can never take any replacement. Imam Zainul Abidin said, Allah, من ذا الذي ذاق حلاوة محبتك فرام منك بدلا. O Allah, who is the one who has tasted the sweetness of your love, then he has looked for a replacement? It's impossible. If you have been taken to a garden, a botanic garden, with all the flowers, beautiful fragrance, all the nice decoration, would you be pleased to replace it with the picture of a flower? Or with a plastic flower? It's impossible. Replacing Allah with anything in this world is worse than replacing that garden with a plastic flower. Why we do that? This is a big question. This is our jahl. This is because we have never gone to that garden. We have been receiving invitation through the prophets, but we have been pleased with this plastic flower. I don't want to go and see the garden. I say, oh, I'm enjoying this plastic. For the sake of God, please go and visit. Please spend a few months with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then, if you feel that you have lost, you can curse me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so kind that He always invites us, always encourages us to go back to Him. وَمَا أَرْحَمَكَ بِي مَأَقَبِيهِ فِعْلِي إِلَهِ مَا أَقْرَبَكَ مِنِّي وَأَبْعَدَنِي عَنْكَ. And the next sentence, inshallah, for tomorrow, just think about it. وَمَا أَرْعَفَكَ بِي فَمَا الَّذِي يَحْجُبُنِي عَنْكَ. So what is there to stop me? This is what we need to reflect. Allah doesn't put a guard, a barrier, security, so that people don't go to Him. So why we are stuck? Why we cannot go to Him? What is hajib? What is the barrier? This is what we have to find out. Unless we find what stops us, we cannot solve the problem. May Allah, inshallah, enable us to go very closely, inshallah, back to Him.